Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist.
I'm your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design coach. You are listening to Living Astrology on the Empower You Radio Network. I encourage you to check out the other shows on our network by going to www.empoweryouradio.com. For example, there's the Tarot of Empowerment with Judith Salt. That comes on every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. And then there's the weekly show, What's Right About Men, also on Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific. Excellent shows. In fact, this week on What's Right About Men, we started a really interesting discussion about violence and abuse and relating it to sports this year, or this week, which was interesting considering all of the news coming from the NFL on players that had been sanctioned and dropped from their contracts because of abuses, and both to their significant others and also their children. So check those out, and if I'm not mistaken, we'll be having a new show joining us next month, Crow's Feet Wisdom School with Elka McCartney. And hi, Elka, I know you're out there ready to have a reading today, so maybe we can talk a minute about that. Our show today is really based on the new moon coming up in Libra and the astrology of the fall or the autumn, which takes up the 3 months beginning this weekend of October, November, part of December, and then part of September as well. So we'll be talking about the upcoming transits of the planets and also doing some readings as well. So what is up in the sky? I know we've had a really interesting week this week with the, or maybe it was last week, time flies, you know, but last week as we were having solar flares and incoming CMEs, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I know there were people that were talking about seeing the different auroras that were visible in my neck of the woods. My husband laughably kept going outside every 30 minutes or so last week to look for them, and we never got to see them. And I told him it would be kind of an impossibility for us because we live in such a wooded area that we'd have to actually go outside and over to the other side of the island in order to be clear of the trees. He didn't seem to want to do that, so we missed them. But there were some beautiful pictures from people in Anacortes and other places right around where I live actually saw the auroras. So the sun has apparently calmed down. I checked that before coming on the air today and realized that the sun has several sunspots, none of which are actively flaring. And so, for the moment, things are a little more quiet. But there are other wonderful things going on in our sky this week that are worth noting. For one thing, tomorrow morning, as we wake up, and even for the next couple of days after that, if you have a clear sky just before sunrise, take a look outside to the east. You'll see the crescent moon and Jupiter in the morning sky in a very close configuration. And, of course, Jupiter is, or the moon is moving ever closer, dipping down toward the sun for the new moon, which occurs a little bit later this weekend. And so for the next couple of days, you'll be able to see it. But once we hit the new moon, of course, you won't be able to see that at all. And Venus right now is also getting closer to the sun. So we have a view of Venus for another few weeks, and then she will disappear into the glare of the sun. Mercury right now is so close to the sun we can't see it. And the other planets that are visible for us right now are Saturn and Mars. In the evening sky, if you look to the south and east, you will be able to see those two fairly close together. And of course, Mars is very visible, or is very noticeable as the red planet. And Saturn takes on sort of a golden hue in the sky. So you can see those two planets together for at least the next couple of weeks. As Mars is now in Sagittarius and moving further away from Saturn, we won't be able to see it for too much longer. So get out if you have a clear night sky and enjoy what's going on up in the stars above you. Okay, so I want to get back to some of the things that are going on for us right now. This is going to be a very active time of the year, as it usually is. We have a lot of different transits going on, and so I want to talk about those. I'm going to try to take them in order, and then we'll do some readings speckled in between, because it looks like we are stacking up a bit in the readings, and so we'll want to take a look at as many charts as we possibly can. I did set the show for 90 minutes. I know the advertising went out and said 60, but I did set it for 90, so be patient, and hopefully we will be able to get to everybody. So first up on our list of transits that are ongoing is the fact that the sun will move into Libra, signaling the autumn equinox, on September 22nd at 7:29 p.m. here on the Pacific Coast, and that puts it 3 hours later if you're on the East Coast at 10:29 p.m. And interestingly enough, this is going to be, this particular equinox is, you know how I always talk about eclipses as being game changers. Well, in this case, the eclipses are sandwiched within this time period that I believe and feel energetically is also bringing us to a game change. And that's because fundamentally some of the energies are shifting, and what we may see is sort of a snowball effect of changes going on through the autumn this year for us. And so beginning with the autumn equinox, I posted on my Facebook page, I posted it on the Living Astrology Facebook page, as a picture of the autumn astrology chart. And of course, I've set that for Seattle, Washington, so the West Coast here. The chart will look similar for everybody across the nation, maybe with just a little bit of a change in the rising sign as we move further to the east. But I thought this one was fascinating for us on the West Coast, as the planet Uranus, at the moment of the equinox, is sitting at the ascendant, right on the ascendant, within, you know, seconds of being in an exact conjunction. And I always find that interesting when we enter a season with that kind of thing happening, because Uranus is a planet that is one that sort of shakes us up. It is a planet that we know of as creating sort of lightning bolt change, inspiration, things that happen that you least expect. And so it's kind of got an exciting air about it. But it can also be sort of a planet that brings us shocks, in that sometimes what we need as human beings to get us moving or to get us to change directions is a shock of some sort. And I think all of you are aware that I'm also using human design astrology these days. And so I thought, well, I'm going to pull the human design chart for that day. And indeed, what I see is the planet Uranus sitting at gate 51, which is known as the gate of shock. So what we have is a double validation that there may be some key things that come up for us over the next 3 months that, A, we didn't see coming, B, that are disruptive, or C, that have in some way an effect on us that causes us to change directions. Now, mind you, none of this is punitive. I know sometimes it feels that way, particularly if you have been stuck in doing things one way and now suddenly, you know, things change, something gets destroyed, something changes fundamentally. But it's never about being punitive, because the planet Uranus in both these key places is bringing us to a place of freedom, releasing us from oppression, and sort of, if you can imagine having someone take you and shake you a little bit, and then you can see either a new path ahead of you or have an aha or a revelation of sorts. That's what the planet Uranus is working with in the energies in our charts. And it's in the sign of Aries, which, you know, indicates to us a new beginning. And I know I hear from a lot of you, a lot of my own clients and some of you that are listeners, about how you have felt sort of stuck. Or maybe that things in your life that you thought were moving forward have sort of come to a standstill. And I think what we're going to be seeing energetically is that standstill beginning to move forward, where we'll be able to see ways in which we can move in a direction that's going to take us somewhere, as opposed to just feeling like we've been spinning our wheels, which I know is such an annoying feeling. The sun during this particular day, which is always the most important thing that I want to look at on an equinox, or a solstice for that matter, is sitting in the sixth house of health and healing. And so I feel like that this particular time period is opening us up to the possibility of healing. And that would be not just healing on the physical, but healing of the body, mind, and soul, and the emotions, and creating some space for us to move forward in those areas like that where we feel like we haven't been able to affect any kind of positive direction for ourselves. The other planet that I find interesting during this time is Saturn. Saturn, sitting at 19 degrees of Scorpio, is in the late seventh house. And that is about relationships. And the focus is really turning toward relationships, as the sun in the sign of Libra rules the whole area of the whole arena of relationships, business relationships, intimate relationships, relationships with, let's call them enemies for lack of a better word, but the people that aren't always the ones that are on your side or are not your best friends. And so we'll see a lot of key things erupting in that area. And I know that those of you who have listened to my show for any length of time may have heard me talk before about a yod, which we call the finger of God in astrology. And there is one forming with this autumn equinox, with the point of it at Uranus, and the base being formed by Saturn in Ceres at one point of the base and Venus and the moon at the other. The finger of God usually is the one pointing, right? It's pointing towards something, and what it's pointing us toward is change. So get comfortable, belt your seatbelts on, and let's get moving, because I know the places you're stuck. It's usually in three key places. It's in the health area of your body. It is in relationships, or it is in money. And it's really interesting because for the next 3 weeks, I'm starting a series of radio casts on just those three things. We're going to be looking at the relationship issue and your beliefs around relationships. Then we're going to be looking at money and your belief issues around those and how they relate to your astrology chart as well. And the first show next week we're going to be doing around the health, your body and your body image and the different ways that we can heal and how astrology can show us that direction. So you want to tune in for the next 3 weeks as we deal with each one of those issues. Okay, so moving from the autumn equinox, we have Pluto going direct on September 23rd. Pluto is the planet that is about power and transformation. And we've had all of the outer planets. We've got Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto that we consider the outer planets, and all three of them have been in retrograde motion. While they're in retrograde motion, a lot of the changes need to go on with us from an internal perspective, and so not a lot can happen that changes us in the outer world until we deal with the inner pressures and the inner things that we need to transform. And once we get those things transformed and these planets then begin to switch to back to direct motion, then we can begin to see the changes in our outer world. And the first one of these planets to go is Pluto on the 23rd. Next will be Neptune. That will turn direct in November. And then in December, the planet Uranus will turn to direct. So then we will have lots of opportunities to see the outer world beginning to change with the things that have been moving toward change within us. And then on the 24th, we have our new moon sitting at 1 degree Libra and that will be at 11:14 p.m. Pacific time, actually on the 23rd for us on the West Coast. But for those of you in Mountain, Central, and Eastern time, it will actually happen on the 24th. And, of course, the new moon always opens a door for us. It brings us to a gateway, a portal from which that we can make some changes in our lives. And this particular part of the chart that this is occurring in is in Libra, which gives us the opportunity to work on relationships, to work on the things that we want to create in terms of how we work with one another. Are we cooperating with each other? Are we coordinating our efforts? And are we treating each other with respect and love? Or have we been sort of arrogant or assertive with each other and not necessarily treating each other with kindness? So it brings these things up to the surface for us during that time. Some of the other areas that the new moon in Libra rules is the idea of negotiation, you know, how we work with each other or how we speak to each other in a way that can create harmony. And, of course, teamwork is also thrown in here, as in instead of us working alone, that the idea or concept of creating a team. And even if it's just in your intimate relationships, or let's say your relationship with your spouse, is looking at your spouse as a team member and not an us versus them kind of relationship. And Libra, of course, being ruled by the planet Venus, rules everything to do with peace and art and beauty and all of those, the beautifying things that we do. The aesthetic sense of Libra is huge. And so we find some of the most beautiful, peaceful, and harmonious paintings, drawings, and artwork that comes from this Venus in Libra, or even the Sun being in Libra. Libra also rules everything to do with luxury and pampering and grace, so the social graces and the beauty of movement. And so at this point, you know, take care of yourself. Get a mani-pedi. Get a massage. Go out and relieve some of the tension that's been building for us over the summer as some of the more bold moon placements and sun placements were occurring. In the body, Libra also rules the adrenal glands and has an association with diabetes in the body and also the kidneys. And so right now, the ability for us with this new moon to address burnout, overworking, all the things that create an adrenal sort of problem, we can actually work towards our benefit at this point. So use the new moon to open up new doorways for you to take care of yourself. Use it as a way to, you know, create win-win strategies with the people that you're involved with, or a cooperative sort of collaboration, and, you know, being open to receiving support from others around you, as well as giving support to others around you, all favored with this new moon. Okay, and so it's during the readings that we do today, we'll be looking at both the new moon and the lineup of the autumn equinox. And so we'll get to some of those readings in a few minutes. But quickly, I kind of want to run down some of the other main events coming, because, of course, our favorite events are coming here soon to a universe near you, namely ours, where our favorite planet, Mercury, is getting ready to go retrograde. It's actually already in the shadow period of the retrograde. You know, those 3 weeks before the actual retrograde are the most wobbly and are the times where things are likely to go wrong, or where there's bound to be some kind of chaos. It was funny because I rarely look at the news, but today I just happened to go to the MSN homepage and noticed an airplane issue. I think it was in Long Beach, California, a plane had an emergency landing or something of such, or such. And that is so typical in this three-week period before the retrograde occurs. The actual retrograde occurs on October 4th at 10:02 Pacific time. And Mercury will then be at 2 degrees of Scorpio, a very deeply intense, passionate water sign. And then Mercury will be retrograding backwards into Libra, where it will ultimately be at 16 degrees Libra when it stops and then begins its motion back forward. And that's an interesting point, 16 degrees Libra, because it's in the same area as the October 8th total lunar eclipse, which will occur at the full moon in Libra, or across the Libra-Aries axis in the chart. And so what we see here is a lot of the emotional issues that we've been dealing with for all summer long, in fact, for almost 2 years, because Saturn was also in Scorpio, that now we finally get to get those burbling up to the surface and get those new creative impulses just from that imagination or from that inner self up to the mind, because Libra is an air sign and it rules the mind. And so when we can move some of that information from deep within up and out into the mind, then it sets the stage for us to act on some of these creative impulses. And, you know, we've had this same pattern going on all year so far. In fact, this is the third Mercury retrograde of 2014. And all three of these retrogrades saw the planet Mercury in a water sign turning retrograde and going backwards into an air sign. And so it's very interesting that we've been dealing with our intuition and our emotions and having those things come up to the surface to our physical mind, where we can actually then take that information and act upon it. So let's go to the total lunar eclipse then, which is on October 8th at 3:51 a.m. Pacific time. If you live in the Pacific zone and in the mountain zone, and possibly even a little bit of the central zone, this should be a visible eclipse for you early in the morning. Very early in the morning on the West Coast. The further east you go, the less likely you will be able to see it because the eclipse will occur after the moon has set. But for us on the West Coast, at least, we will be able to see the full total lunar eclipse. And I was reading somewhere today where we'll be able to see it in various colors as it moves through its eclipse period. It will change from the dusky reds to even the turquoises before it moves back into the light as the moon passes, or as the Earth's shadow passes off the moon. And then on October 23rd, we have a new moon again at 0 degrees Scorpio, and that will be a partial solar eclipse. And these eclipses work together. They're sort of in tandem, and they create openings for us. You know, they happen at a new moon and a full moon, and we already know that the new moon and the full moon create changes for us, doors opening, doors closing. And the eclipses are sort of jacked up. New moons and full moons, in that I always say that they're game changers, and the game here seems to be changing toward the Aries and the Libra side of things, which is action being taken in the world. And that's why I really feel like the energy for this whole entire autumn is switching from us having a sort of stability and not being able to move forward to the energy that's actually going to allow us now to take some action and to move more boldly toward things that we're passionate about. And, you know, by the way, that new moon partial solar eclipse is October 23rd, in case I didn't give you that date. But now through the whole first 2 or 3 weeks of October, what we see lining up in the sky is called a fire trine. And a trine is a 120-degree angle between planets, and it really evokes a sort of smooth energy exchange between the planets involved. In fact, a fire trine means that the three planets involved are all in fire signs, and that gives them a lot of energy for creativity and passion, expression, love, joy, playfulness. I mean, you name it, some of this really good energy is lining up for us from about October 1st through the 15th. As Jupiter lines up in Leo, Mars in Sagittarius, and Uranus in Aries. So I think it's going to be during those weeks that we really can see the efforts that we've been trying to put out in the last 3 or 4 months come to fruition, where we'll really be able to start to see those things that we can act on that bring us to the place where we've really wanted to be in our lives. Now, of course, that is if you've been following your design and strategy, as we would say, for human design. And for astrology, if you have been taking a look at what transits are going on in your chart and moving with that energy. And I think this is a really good time for me to remind you, as I did last week, listeners, that when I do readings for you here on the show, it's about what I see in your chart, the energy that's building up for you. I know I get a lot of questions from people, both on the air and emails, even in person when I teach classes, where they want to know specifics about, you know, when is this going to happen? When is money coming? When am I going to get a job? Well, guess what? I cannot answer those kinds of questions because it doesn't show up in your astrology chart as a set date when I cannot say that October 1st so-and-so is going to get this job. I cannot say that such and such a date is when money is going to be coming into you. It doesn't work that way. And guess why? Because you all have free will. And I can't anticipate in doing a reading how it is that you're going to act on the advice I'm giving you or the advice that other people have given you. And so it's very difficult for me to give you that as a distinct answer. I am your guide. I am not your guru. I am your coach. I am not the definitive answer to those kinds of questions for you. So as you're sitting there today waiting for me to pull up your charts and do readings, think about that, as I really want to give you a way through your life and not give you the actual answers, because that is not my job. It takes away from the journey that you're experiencing if I do something like that. Now, I call myself an intuitive astrologer, and that's because I often know on some level, I think I could say it's a knowing of what direction you are likely to take, if, you know, given the advice. But again, you still have free will. And so things like dates and so forth are a slippery slope. So don't ask me to do that. I won't be able to tell you that. So that was just a little aside and brought home to me last week as I was listening to my Tarot of Empowerment radio show host talk to her clients about, you know, their expectations in tarot card readings and how sometimes, again, they're wanting that definitive answer. And that's not our role as people doing astrology or card readings. So keeping that in mind. So looking at this energy then of October 1st through 15th, I see huge potential for openings, for breakthroughs, for ahas, for you to actually begin to move forward where you have been stuck. But again, all of that is dependent on you, right? Y-O-U. And how you take that information in, that energy in, and whether you use it to empower yourself or to disempower yourself. So huge potential, but again, up to you on how you're going to deal with that. As we move later into October, October 25th, we'll have the superior conjunction of Venus. And that is an alignment, by the way, of Venus, the Sun, and Earth. And in this particular alignment, Venus will be on the far side of the Sun in the middle, and the Earth on the other side. And this signals the time where Venus begins to move closer and closer into the glare of the Sun, where she becomes invisible. Right now, we can see her early in the morning. And as we get further into the fall, in fact, beginning December 8th, she will emerge again from the glare of the Sun into the evening sky and become the evening star. So she always has a very interesting transit through the sky, and she becomes very important in a lot of cultures, ancient cultures. For example, the Maya, they really looked to Venus as an indicator of some of the social upheavals and so forth that they were likely to experience. And when she changed phases, that was the time when things were likely to change, when change was going to be the norm as opposed to the status quo. And so it's really interesting that this is happening in sort of the same time frame as we have Uranus sitting at the ascendant of the autumn equinox and Uranus sitting at the gate of shock in human design. I sort of expect that there may be some events on the world stage that might be sort of shocking, upsetting, not because I want you to go into fear, but I think when those kinds of things happen, it sort of moves us to change. And so just being aware that this next month can be kind of interesting in terms of the energies that are out there. As we move into November, we have the Black Moon Lilith, which is now in Leo, along with Jupiter. She'll be finishing up her transit and moving on into Virgo. Remember, the Black Moon Lilith takes us to our shadow part, the part of ourselves that we sort of hide from ourselves. The older we get, the more we expose that shadow. But when she moves into Virgo, we'll be dealing with the shadow of ability. By the way, this is all based on the work that Laura Walker does. And Laura Walker is at Oracle Report. It's her group on Facebook. She will also be on my show. I'm hoping to get her in here before the Black Moon switches into Virgo so she can tell us from her standpoint what she sees is happening. But the shadow in Virgo is also about the fear of failure. And the issues become self-criticism, or how we overwork. We feel like if we just work one more hour, one more day, that we can get something accomplished because we're so afraid that we're going to fail at something. And so those are kinds of the bigger shadows behind the scenes that may be working as we move into November and December of this year, and actually all the way into August of 2015. So it's very important now to be sure you know who you are, right, and to align with your passions and to stay in that energy, even if it looks like something isn't going to work out. And failure really is only an indication of one way that doesn't work. There are always unlimited other ways in which something can work out for you. So keeping that in mind. As we move into December, the planet Saturn, which has been in Scorpio for 2.5 years, has been responsible for us having to dig through the gutter of emotions, grudges, icky feelings, things that we didn't want to deal with. It's been bringing them all up to the surface to be exposed to the light and sort of healed and worked through. We'll be moving out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is a fire sign and is very deeply rooted in the truth. And I'm sitting here with my, because I talk with my hands, you guys don't see this, but I'm talking with my hands as I'm talking to you. And I'm holding up a giant T because they're interested in the capital T truth. They don't really want those little itty-bitty tiny truths. They want the big truth. They're after the giant truth. Who is God? What are we as humans? What's my life path? What is my destiny? Because in that truth, they find freedom. And so we'll have Saturn, which is the great taskmaster of the planets, moving through this sign for a couple of years now and bringing us to those places. And I think the most interesting part of this entire transit, which probably won't happen for yet another couple of years, will be when Saturn is sitting at the galactic center, which sits at about 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius. And of course, you know, being a good astrologer, I had to go looking up when last that would have happened. And that would have been in 1987, which for some of you, you may remember that was during the harmonic convergence, and where the paradigm that we were, the old paradigm, really began to gather up steam and begin to shift. So I think it's going to be an interesting couple of years that Saturn will lead us through on our quest for that capital T truth. And, of course, that is different for different people. My truth is different from your truth, is different from your neighbors, your husbands, your wives, your kids. The boast that we can hope for is that we all come to our own truth and we live from that space. And then from living in that space, we also allow and appreciate the truth that other people are living, so that we can sort of have an appreciation for the great tapestry that life is here on this planet, and that great tapestry of beliefs and the different ways in which that we live, and honor those differences and those truths that everybody's living. So that takes us basically through the autumn. And I'm sure the winter solstice is going to bring us some interesting things as well, because at that point then we begin to see a cardinal cross develop, and that was echoing last April and May. If you guys remember, we talked a lot about that. So I don't want to get that far into the future, but know that it's very important, the things that you do in these next few months that are going to take you to living your passion and living your truth, okay? So, let's see. I have a couple of people that sent me information for their charts ahead of time. The first would be Tom. Is Tom out there, Steve? Hello? Am I on
No,
air?
we have Tom hasn't called in yet, and so we're
Okay.
going to take D.
D. Okay. Hi, D. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. You know, 87 was a very good year for me, so I'm glad to hear what you just said.
It was a very good year, 1987.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I think it was an important year on a spiritual level, and probably importance that we didn't see until hindsight took us there, right? You know, now,
yes.
Now we have this idea of what 1987 might have brought us to. I'm
yes.
not sure how that will play out with Saturn moving into that position during this period of time. Maybe it's that the concepts and things that were brought up during that intervening 29 years will be able to be used by us as human beings. In other words, the evolution will have caught up with
yes.
the revolution, and we'll be able to live from some of those higher truths. I think that would be an awesome thing to behold.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. So, Dee, what can I do for you today? Do you have a specific question that you're looking at, or just general information?
General information.
Okay. You know, I noticed, Dee, that you and I were born in the same year, and actually I have a couple of people that wanted readings today born in 1961. And so I always search for patterns, and so I always
okay.
wonder, what is bringing us to this pattern? Why would suddenly those of us that are 52 to 53 years old suddenly want a reading on what's going on in our charts? And I think the big answer comes from the fact that Chiron, the wounded healer, has given us our full round, right? It takes 50 years to go around the chart completely, and now at about 52, 53, you've really gathered the wisdom, and now it's how do I use that wisdom to move forward? So I think it's a really interesting age group that's calling in for readings today. And as I look at your chart, I see that Chiron for you, even though it's not where I meant to go, but Chiron for you is sitting in the eighth house, which is the house
mm-hmm.
of transformation, right? Chiron is a planet that in our first 50 or so years really brings us to the wound. What is our core wound? And your core wound in the sign of Pisces was about having faith, right? Letting go and
yes.
letting God, surrendering kind of
yes.
to the higher power. And so here you have this opportunity now to transform that, to let go and let God, essentially. So I think that's part of, you know, I think all of us in 1961 were born with Chiron and Pisces. And so I think that's part of the driving force here. In that instance, it also takes us then to where your natal sun in Virgo is, because Virgo is the sign opposing Pisces and your Chiron. And so what's going on in Virgo is, of course, the sun's passage through there, and the planet Venus now finishing her transit through here, which happens to be in your house of money and the house
okay.
of values and the things that you, your self-worth. And so what I see happening for you here is a real healing potential around how you value yourself or how you've seen yourself as being worthy in your life. And, you know, if we are all sparks of the divine, if we are all of God, then in every way then you are as God and just as perfect, right? Just as worthy of receiving, of being on this planet, of having everything you desire. And the only thing that might be standing in your way of getting there is the faith in this universe being one of abundance and of flow.
Yes.
And so at this moment in time, then my best advice to you through this whole season is focus on your passions. You know, focus on what you love. And get out of your own way here. You know,
yes.
I always tell people when I'm doing readings for them personally is that your job is the what, right? This is what I love. I love astrology, or I love dancing. I love singing. Let the universe figure out how to get you there. That's not your
okay.
job. The how is not your job. The what is. Okay? So get your focus arranged around what you love. Now, the other important thing going on for you is Jupiter just crossed over your ascendant. And that brings you to the possibility of a whole new round of energy and growth and expansion. Because as Jupiter crosses your ascendant, it's beginning the whole wheel again. And it takes 12 years for it to finish, you know, one round through the wheel. And the first couple of planets that it's going to come in contact with in your chart are going to be Lilith, your shadow, which is the fear of change, right? That's the basic underlying fear that you have.
And
so allowing yourself to do what needs to be done to change, right? Change is one of those things that we can count on, like death and taxes, right? It's the only thing that we can ever really know that's going to be the same.
That's
you know, we can't say that what's going on today is going to happen tomorrow, but we can surely say that energies change. And that's kind of the motif you're looking at here. Now, as far as I want to go to the eclipses for you, because the eclipse on the 8th of October is a total lunar eclipse, and that makes it very powerful. Even if you're not living on the Pacific coast where you get to see it in its full glory, it is still going to be effective on you. And for you, that is happening across the third and the ninth house. And I think your call to action here is about what is going on in my head. You know, what are the thoughts that keep bringing me back to a point of being stagnant or being stuck or holding me back or keeping me down? Okay? And what can I do? What if you, in this case, what if you allowed your intuition to guide you into places, right? What would it be like for you to, you know, tap into your higher mind, the part of you that is aware of the bigger, grander plan for you in this lifetime? And that is the great opportunity that you have during this eclipse on October 8th. Okay, then the next go ahead.
I know what you're saying. I get bogged down in my head and the details. You know.
And partly that's because as a Virgo, you have the planet Mercury as your ruling planet. And the planet Mercury is also in Virgo for you when you were born. So you have a lot of thought energy, a lot of energy of the mind. And as we've talked about with human design, it's not the mind where we make the decisions from. There is not any... there is no person walking the planet who is designed to make decisions from their mind. Not a one, not a soul. In fact, we are all meant to make decisions from much further down into the core of our bodies, right? The core of our being. And so when you're constantly using the mind as a tool for decision-making, it really, literally can lead to madness, as the gates of madness are also in the head. I'm not saying that you're mad or crazy. That's not it at all. But
I'll
what
go
I'm
that
saying
way
is that
if I keep it up.
Exactly, exactly. The head can lead you into these places that are dark or that are full of what ifs and hows and can you prove it. And those are not the questions you're designed to answer. Not the questions you're designed to answer. Let me say that again. We're all designed to not use our head as a decision-making tool. It is meant for us to just, you know, there's pleasure in thinking. There is pleasure in inspiration and ideas. But it's when we assume that it's meant for us to act on the thoughts that come to us through our mind that we can get ourselves into the deepest, darkest places. So don't go there, right? Stay clear of that and move into your higher mind or your intuitive self or your God self, and have the faith that this is a supportive universe, that you are supported. There is nothing in a human design chart or in your astrology chart, D, that says that you're here to suffer. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a place. Just some challenges. And, of course, those challenges are meant to bring us back to the truth, again, the capital T, of who we really are. Okay?
Okay.
Now, any other questions? Oh,
yes,
let's look at the
Pluto's.
Go ahead.
Okay. I would say the Pluto station, how do you see that in my chart? Is that significant at all?
Yeah, remember Pluto is sitting in the sign of Capricorn and is bringing us to sustainability in all things, right? Sustainability.
Okay.
And so it has exposed for us the places where we have not been sustainable. The first thing to go when Pluto moved into Capricorn was the economy, right? It exposed an entire way of being with money that was not sustainable. And when we are looking at a planet like Pluto in our own personal charts, it can show us where we have been not empowered. And for right now, it's sitting in your fifth house of joy, creativity, happiness, pleasure, love, romance. And perhaps those are the places where you have not been empowered, right? So you're moving out of this eventually, you know, and I mean like in the next year or two, Pluto will be moving out of your fifth house into the sixth house of health. And so I think this is really important for you to pay attention to, because Pluto, as it moves into the sixth house, has the ability to destroy your health or rehabilitate your health. And where it is right now is about, what do I have to live for, right? What are the beautiful things on this planet that keep me here? My children, my relationships, my, you know, just the beauty of the planet, my work and what I'm passionate about. All those things keep us here, you know, want that sustain us passionately and toward what we're doing until the time we choose to transition. In the meantime, though, for all of us born in 1961, we were born with Saturn in Capricorn, and in your case, you were actually born with Jupiter in Capricorn. And so some of your biggest lessons come in hits to your health when you're not living in joy, passion, creativity, love, and romance.
Yes.
So regenerate, right? Regenerate this part of your life. Make yourself, you know, move toward those things that make you happy. Stop wallowing in sorrow or fear or, you know, depression, whatever it is. Don't keep yourself there. Allow yourself to move beyond that. Okay?
Okay.
And if you need help figuring that out, then go internal, right? Because you've got that eclipse happening across that the mind and the higher mind. You know, go to the inner you and say, okay, what is it that really gives me a reason to live and breathe every day? What's my reason for being here?
Yeah.
You know,
I hear what
am
saying.
I passionate about?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
And then lastly, before I let you go, is to remember, this is a universe full of abundance, and you are not meant to suffer in any way, whether it's money, relationships, love, creativity, passion. You are not meant to suffer anything, any lack of that at all. And if you are finding yourself in any kind of lack in those areas of your life, you need to look at some of those thoughts that you're thinking. You know, what is holding you back from those things? Because you deserve to have all the good and all the best things. There's nothing keeping you down from those except you. Ultimately, it's not just you, it's everybody. It's me, and I do it to myself. So, just keeping all of that in mind. All right?
Okay, thank you so much, Janet.
You are most welcome, Dee, and, you know, keep us posted on the awesome things that happened to you this fall.
Oh, I will. I will. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. So, let's see. I think I was told Tom has come on the line. Are you there, Tom?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey.
How are you, Jim?
Today? I'm doing well, thank you.
Really good. How
are
you?
You're my other 1961er that I don't know if you were on the line or heard what I was saying to
I was making the soup.
She was you were making the soup?
I was making the soup, so I was just listening. I couldn't call in yet. But, yeah, I made some notes.
Very good. So you're also a 1961. Your birthday is just about 16 days before mine, so your chart looked vaguely familiar as I was looking it over. So tell me, Tom, what are your concerns? What are your questions for me today?
What's my next step over the next little bit in life, the universe, everything? I don't know. Relationship, career, living,
the big three,
that kind of
relationship, career, money.
Where I live.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look here at some of the key things that are happening. First, we'll look at the new moon, which occurs this weekend. And, of course, that's in at 1 degree of Libra, which puts it in your first house. And the first house is always about you, right? It's very egocentric in that from my own strength and my own sense of self, I can move outward into the world. Because if I do not know who I am, if I do not have strength in myself, I have nothing to give. You know, it's like the stewardesses on the airplanes, right? They're telling you if your oxygen mask drops down during flight to put yours on first, then help the people around you. Right? They tell you that for a reason, because if you can't breathe, you can't help anybody. And that's the same concept we're seeing here, is that you've got to do for yourself first, or you have nothing to give. Right? You have to know that you are taken care of first, and that's what this eclipse is bringing you to, and that's what this new moon is also bringing you to, because they're in the same area of your chart. And so there's a lot of emphasis there on transforming, I would say transforming your life into the vision that you hold for it. And I use the word vision specifically because Jupiter for you right now is in the 11th house, which in the astrology that I'm looking at, the chart that I'm looking at, is the house of vision, sort of your goals and your aspirations, right? The bigger idea of who you are and what you're going to do in the world, which, by the way, in that same house by birth, you have the planet Lilith, you have Mars, and you have Uranus, all in that area.
Oh,
so
where's
this
Lilith?
Is very important. Lilith is in Leo at 13 degrees of Leo. You have Mars at 15 degrees Leo, and you have Uranus at 22 degrees Leo. So
is that one of Jupiter's moons?
No, no, no. Lilith is, she's a completely different part. You know, she's not anything to do with Jupiter, but Jupiter is transiting across those planets in your chart. So she's bringing up areas of growth for you. And the areas of growth for you happen to be in what is my vision, right? What is my plan? What's my goal? What are my hopes and dreams and aspirations? And who do I need in my life to get me there, right? The first person you need in order to bring a vision into being is you. You are the holder of the vision. And then from that point, then you can go out and bring the other people in that you need to help you get to your vision. So that's very much in play during this period of time, as well as now that it's very close to moving into the second house, which is about self-worth. And what are your values? What do you value? And, you know, that there's a couple of schools of thought here that can come into play. As one, that your sun in Gemini makes you a communicator. Right? You're meant to share a message. You're meant to share ideas, network. In some ways, you're also meant to bring out new ideas and share, you know, new and interesting ways of doing things. So, you know, look to your vision. What was it that you wanted to do? Who do you want to be? Really very important for you right now. And then we also see in this particular chart, the second eclipse, the partial solar eclipse, is happening across Scorpio and Taurus, and that's going to put it squarely in your second house of money and self-worth. So I think if there are any issues holding you back around abundance, the nature of the universe being abundant, then this would be a really good time for you to work through those issues. I wish I had pulled up your human design chart. I didn't do it, but I suspect that you are also, because you and me and Dee are all just a couple of months apart in age, that you are probably also...
Is that the human design chart?
Yes. Have you ever
heard
of human
design? Is that called the human
design
chart?
Uh-huh.
My friend Patty sent me a copy of it. Do you want me to email
it
to you right now?
Yeah, do you have it? Look down at the bottom right corner and tell me if you have gate 55 affected at all.
Oh, of the chart.
Of the chart. Down
at the very bottom
right
like
corner.
Say it would be like the root chakra kind of thing?
Not the root
chakra.
I'm not
familiar
go up to the solar plexus chakra.
I'm not
chakra,
familiar
up,
with this
over
chart.
To the right.
Right-hand
okay,
side.
Right-hand side, it's a triangle. It's white. It might be white or brown.
The one up from the very bottom but on the right-hand side.
Correct. And look inside of it. You see the gate numbered 55?
Yep.
Okay, is that
yes.
colored in either red or black or stripes?
It looks like it's colored in blue because the background is brown.
Mm. Well, that's weird. That's probably just a freak of the printing, because it should either be black
maybe it's
or
a screen. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. In other words, though, you have gate 55 defined, and those of us that have gate 55.
Oh, there's a black stripe coming out of it. Does that help?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah, the black stripe coming out to the bottom, and then it turns white about halfway from the 55.
Okay, that makes sense. That means that you have a planet sitting at gate 55 in this human design chart. And those of us that have gate 55, and there are a lot of us on the planet, not just those of us born in 1961, but specifically I know you must have it because I also carry this, and that is the recognition of abundance coming from spirit. And as I was telling Dee, with those of us born with Chiron and Pisces, our biggest issues about faith, right, the faith in the universe that we're supported. And essentially what I had to go through for myself, and you can take yourself through the same process, is the recognition that I don't have to do anything to deserve all the good that comes to me. That there's not a rule that says that I have to work to get something. That only those people that do the most work succeed or get money or have resources. That isn't true. But we're afraid it is true when it comes to gate 55 being activated in a chart like this. And so the recognition on your part needs to be that faith in a benevolent universe or a benevolent God or source is benevolent and full of abundance is what is needed for us to be able to move forward with success in our lives. And so you're carrying that as well. And this particular time period with the eclipse occurring around your second and your eighth house is about bringing you to that recognition. Okay? Mm-hmm. Money isn't everything. If you put out to the universe, I heard you say something about moving. Did you want to move out of the place that you're living in, or are you thinking of making a bigger move? Tell me about that.
I am moving on the 30th to a better neighborhood, a better building. Everything about it is better, from the electrics to the construction to the neighborhood to the size to mm-hmm. the amenities to the nearness of my children, to the nearness of my friends and all the services that I need. And
very good.
Yeah, you name it.
Yeah, and that feels very much more sustainable. And what's happening is Pluto is in your fourth house, which is of the house of relocation or home and family. And so I see that this is a very positive step for you because it becomes something that allows you to be more sustainable, right, to have more of what you want or desire in your life close by. So good for you, and that's a very positive step. And the other steps that you can take now then are about you creating what you want to have in your life from here, right? You have a longer term transit of this because Jupiter's in this part of your chart until next August, maybe even a little bit longer than that, but just the way your chart's aligned. So get clear. What is it I want? What am I passionate about? Who do I want to be in the world? Because remember, you're a human being, not a human doing. And notice I didn't say, what is it you want to do in the world? I said, who is it you want to be in the world? And get that vision clear,
yeah.
Right, and move through that. And I'll tell you why this becomes really important, because after next August, when Jupiter moves out of Leo, moves into Virgo, and begins affecting your 12th house, and in the chart that I'm looking at, then your 12th house is an area where great transformation can take place, huge leaps can take place for you on an internal basis as you release fear, as you let go of those shadow fears that are holding you back. So you want to be very clear about who you want to be. And then next year as you move into this, then the 12th house can be a place where you really begin to recognize your divinity, the truth of who you are. And that doesn't mean you won't have challenges or obstacles that come up, because that's all about how we learn. But it does mean that you will have a very sure basis for who you are, for knowing who you are. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots of sense.
Okay. Now, also on your side right now, but maybe a little disturbing, is the planet Uranus getting ready to move into your eighth house. And the eighth house.
Can you clarify what you mean by that it's on my side?
On your side?
Yeah, you said that it's on my side. Does that mean it's like on my team kind of thing, or is it?
Yes. Yes, that things are lining up for you in a good way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. So I was heading in toward where Uranus is moving into your eighth house, and that is a house that brings transformation. And Uranus can bring transformation in different, unique, upsetting sometimes, disturbing other times, electric and unexpected ways. So I would look for at least the next several years to be filled with sort of ahas and excitement, and assuming that you're going to allow for this in your life, that you're not going to resist these wonderful sort of electric sorts of ahas that can come to you, and the changes that come to you over the next several years as Uranus moves into this part of your chart. And it can have the effect of really elevating you to where your perspective then is much more coming from spirit and not coming so much from the human. Does that make sense to you? Not that you're becoming more spirit, but that your perspective is you're coming from a higher perspective, a different place than just what your earthbound self sees or intuits. Okay?
Mm. So more of the spiritual gifts rather than the material gifts, or that these material gifts come from the benevolent source, like the previous thing about the.
Yeah,
I would call them.
I would say Uranus is always about freeing us, taking away oppression, and so in that, yes, I find them benevolent.
Okay.
But I can also say that they can be disturbing when beliefs or things that you've always thought were true suddenly turn out not to be. It can have a disturbing mm-hmm. sort of effect on people or on you in this case, especially because this is the house of death and rebirth, right? It's all about transformation. And so some of those most cherished beliefs may be changed. Some of the most the things that you've always believed about yourself may change, that others have believed about you might be changed. And those are all good things, as long as it's taking you back to truth, right? Your truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this transit. But I would say, and this is just strictly from the mundane standpoint, is also be careful. You know, don't take risks unduly during the next few years, right? Don't take, I would say take calculated risks, not just Evel Knievel kind of risks, you know? Don't go jumping the Grand Canyon if you've never ridden a motorcycle kind of thing, you know? That kind of, you want
to... You asked me what I wanted to be.
And you want to be Evel Knievel.
No.
I'm sorry. And that's a good question. Who do you want to be, Tom? Who do you want to be?
Yeah. Let me get back to you after the new moon.
I would say whatever it is you want to be involves other people. It involves you sharing a message.
Yeah, it's something to do with teaching, but I haven't quite put my finger really on it, and it could be very obvious in front of my face, but I haven't, like,
well,
I haven't really 100% got it yet.
Yeah, I can guarantee you it is not about teaching math or calculus or spelling, reading, arithmetic. It has a much more spiritual feel to it, because your son is in the ninth house in Gemini, and the ninth house is kind of much more elevated in terms of what it's teaching, sort of the spiritual concepts, or even the things about other cultures and how we share with each other can come into play here. Do you do a lot of travel, or did you want to do some traveling? because that's also looking like a likely place of enjoyment for you.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it all
comes
down to
this. Places.
What is it you want? Right? What do you desire? What are you passionate about? And build from there. Okay?
Okay.
And have I done a human design chart for you yet?
No.
Okay, so go to my website, www.
And I'm pretty new to the human design chart stuff, because I was sort of looking back and forth from the wheel chart, and then I was looking at this. I'm quite the newbie at the human design
but
deal.
It's beautiful. There's such a beautiful synchronicity in human design. I love it. I also love Western astrology as well, but I'm really, really enjoying human design. And so maybe another time when you call in, we can talk about that, okay?
Cool, yeah.
All
right.
Well,
thanks. It's really awesome. And I'll let you
get
to
somebody
else.
Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thanks again. This is a cool show.
Okay, thanks. I hope you listen again.
And my hat's off to Steve there, too. He passed me through to you, so he's doing good work, too.
He's my right-hand guy. All right.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks,
now.
Thanks, Janet. See ya.
Bye.
You too. See ya.
Okay. So now that I'm lost completely, Steve, my right-hand guy.
Carmen's up next, and I'm going to put her on. But why don't you give the folks listening your contact information?
Oh, good idea. Thank you, Steve. So if you want to contact me for either a reading, or if you have a question, or if you just want to know what's going on in the stars, my website is www.living-astrology.com. And you can reach me via email also at janet@living-astrology.com. And it's hyphen, not the underscore, but the little dash, like we use for dates and so forth here in the U.S. Okay, Carmen, are you on the line with me?
Hi.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So tell me what I can... You're another 1961-er.
Yes. Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed. And we are. Isn't that interesting?
One
thing is I've just gone through, or probably at the tail end of Pluto transiting my ascendant. So I guess getting kind of an update on that progression would be really helpful for me. And any highlights that you see concerning work, more change, and or dates to be aware of, and I guess relationships too.
You don't want a lot, just a little.
I know, just so silly.
All right, well, let's take a look here. So you're entering into probably what is going to be a very busy time for you, as most of your planets lie on an axis that is going to be hit by the sun. In fact, this will happen every year for you, it would seem, that from about the time of Leo, so early August, on through probably even into early March, you're hitting a lot of energy. It's like the power part of your year. And so right now, it seems that you have a lot of planets even lined up transiting the planets that you have in your birth chart. So just by virtue of the time of year and the time you are in your cycle, right now there's a lot of energy being exchanged in your chart. So some of the most energetic pieces right now, for instance, is Saturn. And Saturn is in Scorpio, which is in your 10th house of career. Now, a couple things can happen when Saturn is moving through your 10th house. One is that you come into some form of recognition or acclaim or authority or recognition as an authority in the world that you work in or whatever you're known to be professionally. The other thing that can happen if that isn't what's happening, is that this becomes a time of change for you as you realign yourself with the part of what you want to do in the world being in alignment with what you're passionate about. So it can be a little more disturbing if that's going on, because it means change. And of course, being born with your Lilith in Leo means that change is not always very comfortable for you. So really, tell me a little more about what is going on in your professional life. Is it that you are gaining momentum and acclaim and being recognized for what you do, or are you looking at making a change?
Actually, the last 2 years have been primarily a lot of dismantling old in almost every regard, from career to home. Husband passed away, being very ill, son moving out, finding a new place to live. So all of it's kind of been dismantling. And health-wise, I'm just coming out and starting to get stronger again. So I'm really just beginning to dip my toe back into the types of things that I want to do, to be teaching and or writing, and just feeling the physical ability to manifest that. So,
I think this is going to be a very good time for you, actually, because number one, you're a Sagittarian, and Mars is moving through Sagittarius right now in your 11th house of vision. Mars means action or confrontation of some sort. It's bringing this up to the surface, and what it's bringing up is something similar to Tom and to Dee, which was about what is your vision. Right? What do you see yourself being or doing over the next section of your life here? And how do I get myself into that, right? The 11th house is it is a place of your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, the direction that you want to go, and also then the people that are going to help you get there. You know, who do you need to attract into your life to support you in that vision? And so Mars is bringing that up to the surface now. As we move into December of this year, Mars will have moved on, but Saturn will now move into Sagittarius, where it's going to stay for 2 to 2.5 years. And so you'll have an extended period of time to develop this vision. So whatever it is you choose to do with your life from here, it is probably not something that's going to happen overnight. It is something that's in a building phase. And also at this time, you're going to have a Mars return, which means your energy is also building along with it. So don't worry right now if you're feeling like your energy is sort of wound down, or that you're feeling more tired or fatigued than normal, because shortly here, in the next few weeks, that's going to bump up, right? You're going to go, wow, there's my energy. It's back. So I think that's a really good thing, and that's going to set the stage for you. Now, you know, Mars also, as a fire planet, brings characteristics like strength and courage to the forefront. And so you may have to call upon some of those things, those attributes that are going to sustain you through this. Now, I know you've had the courage to face a lot of these changes, a death, you know, your son moving out, and all of this kind of thing. So I know you have the fortitude, I know you have the strength, I know you have the courage. But in this case, you may need to have the courage that is, you know, you had the courage to live through and survive those kinds of events in your life, but now you're going to have to draw that more inner courage that sees you willing to make the changes that are in alignment with you, right? You. Not somebody else.
Right.
Not the world at large, but who you want to be. And that can sometimes take more courage than having to deal with the death of a loved one, or having to deal with the cycles of life as your children, you know, grow up and move out. Because now it's about you, Y-O-U. And that's what Pluto, now moving into your first house very forcefully, is empowering you to do. Right? It's all about Carmen now.
Okay.
My guess is you've spent a good chunk of your life devoted to your family, to a husband, to a child or children, to building a career. It may not have been the career of your dreams. And if it was, great. Things will get, you know, better. If it wasn't the career of your dreams, things are still going to get better, but you have to have the courage to make the change to get there. Does all of that make sense to you? good.
It does.
Because, you know, this whole journey of Pluto now moving through your first house for what I'm guessing will be the rest of your life, because it's not only taking its sweet time going through Capricorn, but it's going to have to take its sweet time going through Aquarius as well. And we're looking at, you know, 30, 40 years. Well, that's going to put you up in your 90s, of 80s and 90s, of Pluto moving through house one, which is all the rest of your life, literally, is all about you.
And the and the first house is
you, self,
me, okay,
your right. personality, empowering you, and the reason this becomes very important is that it, you know, one of your concerns was about relationships. Well, it's the relationship with you that intrigues other people and attracts them to you, right? It's the strength
yes,
of character.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
it's you living your truth and, you know, being free to be who you are. That brings the right person, almost like a magnetic attraction, brings the right person to you. And so you want to seek to be empowered in all of this. And indeed, I think that's exactly what I'm seeing happen here for you. And, you know, Mars, as we move into the later part of the fall, will cross your ascendant as well and join Pluto in this same part of your chart, empowering you. And it'll take Saturn several more years to get there, but it will also do this in the next 4 or 5 years. So the journey for you right now is all about the Y-O-U. You get, you know, I'm giving you sort of carte blanche here, a permission slip to be empowered, to do what it takes to be self-centered. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. I don't. When I say self-centered, I don't mean selfish at all. I mean, how can you be empowered? Because it's from your strength that you can move out into the world and help other people. And what does that look like for you now? Right? What do I want to
yeah,
do? Who do I want to be?
Interesting. It's a very interesting transition because in the past, mm-hmm. a lot of my my strengths have been towards building other programs for organizations that I worked with and, you know, helping people specifically move into better situations that are strengths, empowering other people. And I'm still doing some of that through some of the things that I'm going to be teaching. But I feel I feel that internal struggle that says, I it's beyond me to ever want to hurt anyone's feelings at all. And
right.
and I'm learning over and over and over again how to say, you know, I know that you'd like me to do that, but it's not something that I'm going to want to do, and have to say that over and over again till it becomes, I guess, more comfortable. So it's strange. It's a strange. I don't really. I feel like it's learning something new that I haven't done before. Just
well, right.
Being,
that's,
you know,
that's what all
yeah.
this growth is about for you right now.
Right,
right. It's
right.
about doing what's right for you. And because ideally and ultimately what's right for you is right for everybody else. It's how you can give to the world by being
right.
your whole, healed, full, loving, generous self. and it starts with the you. It does
right.
start with you.
Well,
and,
ultimately, it's what we're all needing to do, right?
Yeah.
I just need to
exactly.
demonstrate it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is very important for you because you're the one sitting here with Pluto crossing your ascendant.
Yes.
Right? I was born just a few before you. I do not have Pluto on my ascendant, but you do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the message is pretty clear here for you. It's about empowering yourself. And then from that empowered place, then you can move outward and give to the world whatever it is that your gifts are. And by the way, one of the things that I'm seeing for you coming up in all of this is about writing and teaching. Uranus
okay.
is sitting here just moving into your third house of communication. And so I do see that writing or in some way communicating either your journey or whatever it is that you're passionate about becomes the way for you to be inspired and becomes the way for you to get out in the world in a way that's completely different than what you have been.
Okay.
Okay, so be bold. You know, step out there and, you know, write or teach that which you're interested in learning about. I find a lot of us born in 1961 are really good at teaching others the things that we were weakest in ourselves. And I think that actually happens for a lot of people. But, you know, for you right now, that's pretty much what I see. Whatever your journey has been, there's probably a theme that's gone through it that you can use to help others with, right? That healing journey of Chiron, you know, faith, that even though your world might be crashing around you, that you're still supported in this universe. It may even take on a sort of feel of, the abundance piece, you know, how do we live in an abundant universe? And sharing that message, it's probably your next step here. It looks very much like that would be your next step.
Well, if you think about the way that the world is going through a transition and that all of us are going through transition right now, it makes sense that I would have done transition boot camp, I suppose, if that's what I was going to teach.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
I like that transition boot camp. But I can tell you that you are being empowered to do these things. There's nothing being taken away from you unless you've resisted it and it's not in your benefit, right? If you're resisting letting go of something that is not really in your highest and best, then the universe will sort of contrive to move it out of your way in some way, shape, or form.
Sure.
You know, sometimes in a job that means a layoff or a reorganization or something, you know, you somehow magically lose your job, which leaves you open to being able to do something else.
Right.
But that doesn't usually happen unless you've been getting that message already and haven't been acting on it. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it's never punitive. But, you know, we've got to stop looking at the world as punitive and, you know, we're being beaten up on or anything. Because I think ultimately it's love that runs this universe. And love would have you going out.
I think we're really powerful creators. I think we're powerful creators, and so my own belief is that we create experiences to bring ourselves forward. No one's doing something to us, so.
Right. Yes, I agree. And so with that, I think, you know, go on your merry way, live your life to its fullest, and, you know, be brave, be courageous, and just do the things that you know to be true for.
All right.
All right,
Carl. Were there any things that you saw, and the only reason I'm asking is just because it's been a pretty quiet 2 years and I'm venturing my feet out the door, that if there's anything that talks about relationship or would signify a time of that.
Honestly,
and there might
not
at this
be. Moment. Yeah, mm-hmm. Honestly, at this moment, I don't see that. However, you know, like I was saying or alluding to earlier, it's that the stronger you are, the more attractive you become to other people. And you begin to be able to pull people into your life that resonate more with the new you. You know, Jupiter is still in your seventh house of relationship. I think maybe, and I again, remember, I don't like to pinpoint times, but if I had to pinpoint a sort of time, I'm looking at the spring into the summer for you. Because that's when Jupiter is going to conjunct your destiny. And I think you've probably already had one relationship in your life that had a sort of destined quality. And it's perhaps time as we move into the spring and summer for you to experience another one. But in this one, it will be you coming from a new strengthened you, so a newly empowered you. So
yeah, it'll be very different.
I think, yeah, it would be very different.
Yeah.
And that would be happening because, again, Jupiter would be sitting on top of your destiny, and usually that does become a door opener of some sort, and a door opener in the seventh house of marriage or relationship. So, and of the more intimate kind, not necessarily just your love romance kind of affairs, but
sure.
a much deeper one. So I do see the potential, but work on yourself.
Awesome.
Don't get your feelers out there looking for them. The guy, yeah.
No, not time.
Yeah. Not time. Keep to you right now.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
And have a happy new moon.
Thank you so much, you too.
All right. All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. So here we are with, looks like 5 or 6 minutes left in the show. I see a lot of people that wanted readings, and I'm so sorry I can't get to everybody today. I do want to say that if you are out there waiting for me to do a reading, if you have a specific issue or question, please email it to me. And my email address, probably the best one for you to reach me at, is Janet, J-A-N as in Nancy, E-T, at living-astrology.com. And that's Janet at living-astrology.com. Tell me what your question is. Make sure you give me your birth information just in case I've not done a reading for you before. And it might take me a few days to get to you, but I will get back to you and help you answer whatever question it is that you're looking at. So quickly, some of the shows coming up on Living Astrology over the next few weeks, I've actually, for the first time in a very long time, have an actual outline of shows going up all the way through. It looks like going up all the way through October. I think earlier in the show I mentioned that September 25th, October 2nd, and October 9th, we're going to be looking at the body-mind-spirit connection and how that affects your astrology in terms of your finances, your health, and relationships. And then I'm going to be doing a bonus show next week on the 26th, which will be Friday, where my friend Anaya from Australia is going to be on the show doing angel readings. And she's very popular. She does beautiful readings. And so if you are a Living Astrology follower on Blog Talk, you will get notification that I have that extra show. If you are not a follower, go to Blog Talk Radio dash Living Astrology and become a follower of our show. You will get notification then of the radio shows as they're coming up. October 16th, I'm going to have my friend Michelle Arbeau, the celebrity numerologist, on our show, and we'll be talking about numerology, doing readings about the numbers in your name. And then on October 23rd, Carl Coleman is going to be on the show, and he's going to be talking to us about his new book called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. You might remember Carl Coleman was very important in the whole Mayan calendar information that was coming up a few years ago. And then I hope to have Laura Walker from Oracle Report on either in late October or early November so that she can talk to us about what's coming up with the Black Moon. So be sure to tune in, and be sure if you would like to have a human design chart of your own, go to my website, living-astrology.com, and request a free human design chart. By the way, when you do request a human design chart from me, it says on the page there to give me anywhere from 72 hours, because it takes time for me to be able to get all that done. But more important than that is that I suspect that many of your email programs may be sending it into your junk mail. So please, if you've ordered a chart from me and you haven't gotten it within 72 hours, look in your junk mail folder, as that may be what's happened to your chart. And other than that, I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you today. Remember, the new moon is coming up this weekend. If you'd like a new moon reading, you can go to my website and order that from living-astrology.com. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all, or hearing from you all, next week. In the meantime, have a stellar week.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now, and have a stellar week.